Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it didn't happen while the clinic was busy. It waited until they were the only ones left, and the building should have been quiet, but it wasn't.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello, and thank you for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. So you can call it in, leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advance episodes, access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, how are you? It's going good. You know, I think this is interesting because you got to wonder, how many haunted locations have you been at? Like, say, work. Maybe you're working at the clinic. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear anything until everybody's gone because it's finally quiet enough it can get through.
I think absolutely. I think that happens all the time. You cannot tell me these people that work in these old hotels and stuff, you know, during the day, you know, occasionally something might happen during the day, but it's not as much. And I think that probably things are there all day. We just don't hear them because of the you know, busy things that are going on and your mind's racing out here and you're thinking about all these things that you need to do next and whatever. And I think sometimes it takes us being quiet and a little more calm and a little more still before things can actually communicate with us.
Well, and how could they get through, you know, because there's so many people talking and noise and people moving from point A to point B and the curtains are open and now they're shut. Well, any number of people could have done that.
Well, I think that holds true sometimes on, you know, like investigations or ghost tours and stuff where you go and you think, oh, I hope something happens tonight. But there's always like, you know, 30 people or 25 people on them. They're packed full and they're laughing and there's always the, you know, jokes and the kids and ha ha. So it takes the seriousness away and it's hard to actually get into the spirit of the event when there's so many people. Because in all honesty, when you go on a lot of those, there's always the jokesters. And I think it's because they're nervous.
100%.
Well, I think they're afraid to take it seriously because something might happen. Mm-hmm. And they don't really want that. They're afraid of it. If it's a medical type clinic, most people coming in, you know, there's some heavy stuff that happens all day long. Some of it's just wellness checks. But sometimes it's things that it's pretty heavy and you need to be taken care of and so forth. So your mind is really there focusing in on what these people need.
Well, let's go to the story. And this says, hey, guys, I like to listen sometimes when I'm at work. And this, well, that's why things can't get through. You're listening at work. It's like, or maybe that's why things are happening, because you're listening to ghost stories at work. And the power of suggestion is strong. This is something that happened when I was a few years into my first time job, or my first full-time job. At the time, I was working in a small physical therapy clinic. It wasn't connected to a hospital or anything like that, just a standalone office in a strip of older buildings. There were a few treatment rooms, a front desk, a gym area in the back. Most days were routine, and once it got close to closing, the place would get really quiet. I usually worked the later shift, which meant I was there after most of the staff had gone home. Toward the end of the night, I would usually... Sorry, it's written weird. Okay. Toward the end of the night, it would usually just be me up front and one therapist finishing notes in the back. The first thing I noticed happened on a normal night. I was at the front desk wrapping things up when I heard what sounded like someone walking down a back hallway. It wasn't loud or rushed, just steady footsteps like someone moving from one room to another. Well, I assumed it was the therapist I was working with, but after a minute, I realized I hadn't heard any doors open or close. I hadn't seen her come up front. I got up and walked back to check, thinking maybe she needed something, but the hallway was empty. Her room was still open, and she was inside exactly where I thought she was. I didn't say anything about it. It was easy to assume I had misheard something. A few days later, I was at the desk again near closing when the phone made a quick click, like someone had picked it up and immediately hung it back up. That's a very distinctive sound.
It really is.
On an office, you know, like a landline phone.
Yeah.
It didn't ring, just that connection sound. I picked it up to check, but there was nothing unusual, no missed call, no dial tone issues. It's just one of those things you notice, and then you just go on. The first time it felt a little less easy to ignore was when one of the therapists asked me if I had been walking around the back. I told her no, I had been at the desk the whole time. She said she heard footsteps go past her door while she was finishing up with a patient, like someone was heading toward the storage room. She assumed it was me. She peeked her head out and saw that I hadn't moved. We both kind of laughed it off, but that was the first time it wasn't just in my head. Then there was the one night. It was close to closing. The last patient had already left. It was just the two of us in the building. I was at the front desk finishing paperwork, and I heard the footsteps again. Just like before, slow and steady, coming from the back hallway. This time I didn't get up right away. I just listened. They moved from one end of the hallway to the other and stopped. A second later, I heard a door close. It wasn't a loud slam or anything, just closed. I called back to the therapist to ask if she had just shut her door. She answered right away from inside her room. Her door was still open. Before either of us could say anything else, there was another sound from the gym area. It sounded like one of the pieces of equipment shifting, like something had been leaned on and then let go. She stepped out into the hallway at that point. We met halfway without really saying much. We walked toward the gym together. Everything looked normal, nothing out of place, nothing that explained what we had heard. We were standing there talking quietly, trying to make sense of it, when the phone at the front desk made that same sound again, and we both heard it. And that's when one of the treatment room doors shut behind us. Ooh, all that stuff at once. We both turned, and for a second, neither of us moved. It wasn't just one thing anymore. It was everything, and it happened back to back, and none of it made sense to us. We walked over, opened the door. The room was empty. At that point, she just looked at me and said, "We should finish up and leave." Not in a panicked way, very direct, but we were both thinking the same thing. We went back to the front, grabbed our things, turned off what we needed to. Neither of us said much while we were doing it. We locked up and left. The next morning, everything was normal. We talked about it a little, but neither of us really had an answer. It wasn't just one thing you could explain. It was everything happened in a short amount of time, and we both heard the same things. Nothing like that has happened again all at once, but after that night, the smaller things don't feel easy to ignore. I love the show, listen all the time, figured it was worth sharing since I still don't know what to make of it. That's from Erica. I do think it's interesting, and my guess is they probably hear things like that throughout the day and attribute it to somebody else. So, you know, somebody went back in the hallway, someone's in the storage room, someone's in the gym, and maybe not.
Well, okay. My question is, does she have the same job now? Because when she started the story, she said, "This happened at my first full-time job," which made me think it happened.
I think so. I think maybe she might just be talking about life in general.
That
like
this
the smaller
was
things didn't feel so easy to ignore after that, because maybe you hear things now, no matter where you are.
Because it sounds like she's still there. And I'm wondering, like, okay, so there are some strange sounds still going on.
I don't know, because at the end it just says, because it does say that was a different job.
And okay.
The end it said nothing like that happened again all at once, but after that night, the smaller things didn't feel so easy to ignore. Mm-hmm. So that could be just life.
Yeah. I think it does sound like, though, that after that one night, things did continue to happen while she worked there. but it was like not so intense. It was giving everybody a creepy vibe, though. Mm-hmm. As far as they felt it was very disconcerting. They, and both of them, both the therapist and Erica, both felt off. It, you know, it sort of culminated in that one night where a bunch of things happened, but I don't know. Like, I think the place is haunted or something is going on there. And it doesn't seem like it's residual because there's different things, like a piece of equipment kind of fell or got dropped or, you know, whatever. And the door shut or the phone clicked or something walked down the hall. And
maybe it's just a ghost that needs physical therapy. And it's like, okay, maybe. I'm going to physical therapy again. And I kind of knocked that thing over. Whoopsies. Because do you get rid of all your aches and pains when you're a ghost? I would like to think.
I hope so. I sure hope so.
But sometimes, you know, it's like that sound where it sounds like something, you know, it's kind of your stereotypical ghost sound where he's dragging the leg. And I'm like, doesn't that go away in the afterlife? Can't you walk normally then?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to go to physical therapy in the afterlife.
Oh, no. No. I, you know, I definitely think there's a haunting going on here. I definitely think there's something paranormal happening here. I'd be interested to know if it still is or not, or, you know, but it doesn't sound like she's still working in that building, though.
But I definitely think she had some experiences while she was there.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
And it does validate it when someone else hears it.
Yeah.
It's not so like, am I going crazy?
And I'm not trying to act like, you know, diminish anybody's experience when they were alone, because we all have them. But it just makes it a little bit more validating when someone else goes,
100%.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, because if it's just you, you can talk yourself out of it, too.
And we
do. You can be like, okay, I heard that, but did I really hear that? I don't know that I really... Did my whole house fan really turn on? Yeah. It did.
Yeah. It did.
But you know what I mean? You can really start questioning yourself.
Yeah. Did you're thinking, really is it apocalypse now? Or is it, it's my house.
It's my whole house fan just turning itself back on. Now, my friend James did tell me that he's like, maybe you should, and I haven't looked yet at my fuse box to see if it's on its own circuit. He goes, maybe shut it off.
Oh.
If it is. And I'm like,
because you're not using it anyway, really.
And then he's like, now, the only bad thing would be if it was to happen again.
I know. I'm like, and then you kind of think, I'm not sure I'm brave enough to let that happen.
Like, do I just leave it on and just go? My cat keeps turning it back on.
I know, you know, ignorance is bliss. I'm telling you, I don't know.
I don't know, because we've heard way, and it's this show. But we have heard way too many stories about toys turning on. So they go and take the batteries out and then the toys turn on. And, you know, just, and then like the light was turned on. And so they unplugged the light and the light was turned on and it wasn't plugged in. I don't want to deal with that.
I know, right?
It's a lot. That's just a lot. Okay, well, let's go to this caller.
Hey, y'all. This is Philip, and I live in the Fort Worth area. I went to a school in Dallas, a college there, and this was my second time around going to college. There was a church that me and my wife attended in Dallas that had a property that they wanted us to live at, and basically we got to stay there for rent free. All we had to do was just pay the utilities and take care of the property and just live there. And I was thinking, okay, what's the catch? Well, apparently the property belonged to a couple that had lived at that church, and I believe it was the husband passed away and the wife, she just, I guess, didn't want to live there anymore. Maybe there was too many memories or something. So she donated the property to the church. And so, and it was a place in Southeast Dallas. It was just right on the corner of the city. So it was kind of like still living in Dallas, but have the feel of living in the country. Basically, they would have hay rides out there for the youth group and anything. But anyway, so we lived out there. It was pretty quiet at some point, but I began to wonder because some strange things started happening around that house. And my wife, we went to school, and my wife got pregnant my freshman year. So when my sophomore year came around, when the baby was born, I basically, at least for a semester or two, had to take a couple of night classes because I didn't want to put my baby in daycare and go to school right when the baby was born. So my wife would work during the day and would come home, and then I would go to school. And when she was home, she would watch the baby. And when I got home from school, the baby would be probably already in bed. So I would just stay up, do my homework, listen to the baby monitor. And if anything happened, I would usually take care of it. Well, a lot of times what would happen, I'd be doing my homework and listening to the monitor, and my son would wake up crying, as you know, babies do quite often. And my wife would just softly get up and sing a little lullaby, and the baby would go back to sleep. This happened a time or two, and I didn't really think much of it. Well, one night I was actually working on some homework, doing an assignment, and my son woke up crying, and I heard a lullaby. And it just sounded so cute that at this point, I just wanted to peek my head around the corner and, you know, just kind of see what was going on. So I walked towards the bedroom. There was two doors. The normal door we would go in was shut, but there was another entry around to the bathroom. So that's the way I went. And as I turned the corner, I noticed my wife was asleep in the bed. So I was like, that's kind of strange. But then I look over to where the baby crib was, and there was something standing there at the crib. And I was just shocked, and I was just kind of freaked out when I saw that. And I was like, what in the heck's going on? And as soon as I saw that figure standing there, I didn't even really get a good look at it. But my son screamed the most blood-curling scream you've ever heard in your life. And that scared me just as bad as seeing what was there. And that thing just vanished. And my wife woke up because my son was screaming and crying. And it was a very scary, scary moment. And I was just like, and I explained to my wife what I just heard on the monitor, and I just thought it was her singing a lullaby. So I just wanted to peek my head in and kind of see it. And lo and behold, that's what happened. So the next day, you know, I was trying to rationalize everything and saying, well, maybe there's other, you know, homes, because there was a home not too far away from ours. I said, maybe they have a baby monitor too. So I went over and talked to them, and nope, they didn't have a baby monitor. And so I just didn't really know what to think of that. But there would be instances in that house to where I'd be working on my homework late at night, and I would hear footsteps, thinking it was my wife, you know, walking into the kitchen, you know, to get a drink or something, but nobody would be there. And so, yeah, there was just a few instances in that house. I had a cousin who I was very close to back in 1995, who had passed away. And I remember one night at that house, I was just laying in bed thinking about him, and I just kind of whispered to myself, I miss you, buddy, you know. And then lo and behold, I look over, and I could swear I saw somebody standing over the bed that looked just like him. Well, this time I really didn't kind of freak out that much. I just kind of turned over to my side like I didn't see it, and pulled the covers over my head. But believe me, under the covers, I was really, really shaking. And so basically that's basically the stories from that house. But, you know, before that, I was kind of a skeptic. I mean, I thought maybe there was something to all these stories, but I had never really experienced anything up to that point. But, you know, it wasn't long after that that the church decided that the property was more trouble than what it was worth, and they sold it. And I was glad, because I didn't want to live there anymore. We moved to an apartment in a suburb, and keep up the good work. Thanks, guys.
That's an interesting house.
That was a super scary story.
I don't know what it is about monitors. And I think it's because, you know, it's that dark. And, you know, if the kids wake up, their eyes are white, you know, and it's that just creepiness of the night camera thing that is creepy. And we never had a visual when my kids were little. We only had the audio ones. And even then, I never liked it. Because I was always afraid I would hear something I didn't want to hear come over it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the children waking up. I'm talking about something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you know what I'm talking about? Exactly what happened to him. That's what I'm talking about. And in his story, when he said that his wife would get up and do the lullaby sometimes and then go back to bed and da da da. I think that night, in his heart, he knew something was different because he got up to go look. And he said it had happened before and that hadn't gotten him up. But there was something different that night. And it didn't necessarily just freak him out when he heard it, but something drew him there. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Because it happened other times and he didn't get up to go look because it was cute.
Right.
But this night, something did. And I think it was his protectiveness of, you know, I think it was that you're so close to your baby that you know when something is there, right? And I think he knew it. I think he knew he needed to get up and go look. And he didn't necessarily think bad when it happened. He just knew his son needed him. I love that he has such a strong relationship, and I hope he still does like this, with his child, that he knew he needed him before he even knew something was amiss. And so I thought that was really interesting. I think it was a scary house with the, you know, there were other things, like he said, like footsteps, and he'd hear, you know, different things like that. And then, of course, the cousin thing, you know. Now, the cousin thing wasn't necessarily something that was connected to the house. That was connected to him.
But maybe there's something with this house that things are able to come in and out, you know, like a portal of some sort.
Yeah, because he said, he just goes, I miss you, buddy. And then he's standing there. Okay, well, I miss you, but maybe not quite that much. Like,
because
you know,
now
like,
you're kind of being a creeper.
I don't need to have you here. I just want you to know that is there. But that was a really scary story.
Yeah. But this guy sounded like, that's so matter of fact. Like, it really happened.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely think that there was something there that night, but it was also something that really scared the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because said it was like a blood-curdling cry. Like it was one of those.
You know when your baby, I mean, there's a cry and then there's I'm really afraid.
If something's really wrong cry. There are different cries, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good story. Thank you very much.
That was a good one.
Thank you for that one. We love to hear those stories. If you've got one, call it in at 855-853-4802. You can always write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber. You could do that through patreon.com. You could do that through Apple Podcasts. And you get no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.